Luke chapter 23, starting at verse number 55. It says, the woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was prepared, or how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened." I'm excited, church. Why, you might ask? Is it because tomorrow I'll be 10 years away from getting my AARP card? That's something to get excited about, but no. Is it because I'm wearing my new shirt and tie? And again, I've got the Terrence Hall look. That's something to be excited about, to be like Terrence, although I would much rather come like my man in an orange suit. Is it because yesterday my wife totally fooled me, invited my friends and family from Flint and Buffalo and surprised me at a Brazilian steakhouse yesterday, and the grilled pineapple was excellent? That was something to get excited about, but that's not why I am excited. My excitement this morning flows from a powerful truth that I hope I can speak about just a little bit today. That truth is that Jesus Christ is alive, and I am alive because he is alive. And you are alive because he is alive. And we can live because he lives. We can face tomorrow because he lives. I can get through this or that because he lives. And when we are able to come together to sing together and to break bread together and pray together, I get excited. And to be sure, I have a tall order ahead of me. How do I preach about a topic that is spoken about over and over? I have preached about the resurrection on at least 9 occasions on Resurrection Sunday here at Reynoldsburg. It's a story that doesn't change. When we open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, the story still reads the same. Jesus lived, he ministered to the people on earth, he was falsely accused, convicted, sentenced to death, and on the third day after he was buried, he arose from the grave to the surprise and amazement of those who knew him the best. And with his resurrection, hope was raised to life. Faith overcame fear. Mission was given meaning. And the restoration of relationship with God was set on an unstoppable course. In other words, God's desire to reconcile with mankind would not be thwarted by the evil schemes of men or the supernatural activity of Satan. So this morning, we come to the tomb not looking for the dead, because the dead is not here. We come acknowledging that Christ is living. He is living in this world. He is living in this church. And my prayer is that before we leave here today, we will be overwhelmed that Christ is living in us. We continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke. If you've not been with us for the past several months, we have been reading and journeying through the Gospel of Luke. In a few weeks, we will continue our journey through the book of Acts, which is the second part of the Gospel of Luke. It was written by the same author, the book of Acts, and it continues the story of Jesus as seen through the ministry of the church. We have seen in the Gospel of Luke the story of Jesus and how he was a radical teacher who was a hero to the poor and to the outcast. And we see a Jesus who had miraculous power to heal. And we see a Jesus who touched lepers and ate with sinners. We see a Jesus who taught not just with words but with actions and through example. For so many, Jesus represented a second chance for themselves, and to the Jews, a second chance for Israel. Could it be that he was the promised Messiah that all the Jews were looking for? Was he going to be the one that was going to restore Israel back to prominence? Was Jesus going to spare Israel from any further suffering in their oppression? Church, that's what they thought. But things began to play out differently than they had imagined. After being betrayed by one of his closest disciples, Jesus was arrested on bogus charges and he was severely beaten. And even though the one presiding over the trial found him not guilty, he was sentenced to death. And after a long day of beatings, Jesus was led to be publicly executed by crucifixion. Retelling that story from Luke, starting in chapter 23 and verse number 44, it says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing that what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.' When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good man, an upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin." In a slow, drawn-out fashion, the hopes of a nation and the hopes of several individuals were crushed to death with the death of Jesus. Following the death of Jesus, the writer of Luke zeroes in on some women who had been following Jesus. They go to the tomb knowing that their master was dead, but much to their surprise, they find an empty tomb, and they were shocked and frightened. But two men in shining clothes shows up to declare good news. Remember, the Gospel of Luke is about good news. And some of you in here are in need of good news. You're tired of bad news. You're tired of getting a bad job review and not getting a raise that you want. You're tired of gas prices being raised. You're tired that there are a generation of children not being raised. You're tired of conflict in the world and concerns of war being raised. So some of us are positioned for a moment like this to receive good news. And good news is that Jesus Christ has been raised. Jesus was killed and buried, but listen to these men as they say, he is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. That was good news for the women. And the women couldn't contain themselves. They ran to where the apostles were assembled and some other disciples and told them what had just what they had just experienced. And they didn't, those who heard that testimony didn't believe them. Now part of the reason why they didn't believe them is because the testimony of women wasn't something that was credible. Women were second-class citizens, and second-class citizens, you didn't trust their testimony. But the other part, the other reason why they didn't believe these women, because what she was saying was crazy. What do you mean he's not there? What do you mean he's come back to life? But Peter got up. He ran to the tomb to investigate the report. He found the tomb empty. And still he was left bewildered, wondering what had happened. Following this scene, we get an interesting story that is only included in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. The risen Christ encounters two walking on a road to a town called Emmaus. These two were with the apostles when they got the report from the women. As they were walking and talking and pondering the events that had occurred, Jesus appeared to them, but they did not recognize them. The text says that they were kept from recognizing him. And what is described as some of the best storytelling in all of Scripture. Luke describes this interaction Jesus had with these two disciples. One's name was Cleopas. And many believe that the other was his wife, Mary. They explained to Jesus the bizarre events regarding the death of and of the empty tomb and this report that their master, their teacher, had been resurrected. And they were talking to the risen Christ, but did not recognize that that's who they were talking to. Jesus replied in verse 25 of chapter 24, it says, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I love that Jesus opened the scriptures and started from Genesis and went through the Old Testament and shared with these disciples and telling them that what this stuff was written about was this Christ, was this Jesus, this one that you were looking for. This is what all these stories was about. This is what all the commandments was about. This is what we have been leading up to. And later on, the two urged Jesus to stay with them. It was at a table where Jesus broke bread. He broke bread with them. And the text says, when he broke that bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They see the risen Lord. They are breaking bread with the risen Lord. And when their eyes were open, they began to understand. Recall, if you will, the first time we read of someone in the Bible eating. Remember, it was Adam and Eve. That was the first meal in the Bible. Did you know that? And do you know in that story what happened after they ate that fruit? What does the text say? It says their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. But that wasn't just what they saw, because they saw that they were naked, and what they were about to see was now the consequence of sin. They were about to see a world that was about to be degraded. They were about to see a world that was cursed. They were about to see sin. They were about to see death. They were about to see sickness. They were about to see despair. They were about to see unforgiveness. They were about to see divorce. They were about to see abuse. They were about to see people abusing power. They were about to see people wanting to be in control. Their eyes were opened. And yet, in the Gospel of Luke, we see these two disciples, Cleopas and perhaps his wife Mary, who broke bread with the risen Lord, and their eyes were open to a new reality because Jesus Christ was alive, because Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and because their eyes were open, they were able to see the new realities in Christ Jesus, a new creation. Now that Jesus Christ is alive, the cure to all the ills mentioned above, because the cure to sin is and always been Jesus. He defeated death, so he has the power to defeat sickness and doubt and fear, and wars, and oppression, and racism. Only in Jesus can we ever see the light of day from the depths of darkness. Only in Jesus can we emerge out of our deepest despair. Jesus Christ is alive, and we can have life too. And so these disciples, having seen the risen Lord and having been made to understand from the scriptures God's plan, go and tell the apostles. This seemingly drawn out narrative is beginning to come to a close as Jesus appears to his apostles and the other disciples. In chapter 24, verse number 36, it says, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have something to eat? We learn a lot about Jesus, don't we? We learn that he performs a lot of miracles and that he liked the poor and he hung out with the outcasts. But brother Jesus liked to eat too. And he took it and ate it in their presence. You see, church, the story ends the same all the time. Jesus is raised to life. He appears to his disciples. He enjoys fellowship with them until he has to return to the Father in heaven. So what's the point? We read of the women's response. We read of the response of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We read of the response of his disciples and his apostles. So here it comes. What's your response? What's your response to the presence of the risen Lord? What's your response to Jesus who died and was buried and God spoke and said, come, awake. And Jesus came bursting forth through the grave. He is alive and he is here. He is here to break bread with us. He is here to open our eyes. Have our eyes been opened to the realities of the kingdom of God? Do we accept that the kingdom of God is unlike any other kingdom and that we have been invited to participate in this kingdom? Have our eyes been open to the work that is set out for us to do in the kingdom of God? Perhaps on this Resurrection Sunday, God needs to speak to us. Come awake, because I have work for you to do. So come, awake, and declare that Jesus Christ is alive. Come, awake, and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come, awake, and declare Jesus the Lord of this church. Come, awake and subscribe to a new way of living rooted in the example of Jesus Christ. Church, come awake and take your focus off of money and focus on the Messiah. Come awake and consider it a blessing to minister to the poor and to the outcast. Church, come awake and worship the Lord with gladness. Come awake and see what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what he is still planning to do in your life, in the life of this church, and in this world. Come awake. Christ the Lord is risen from the dead. Amen. I told you I was excited. Because days like today is a reminder that even when I think my story is coming to an end, God is still writing a story. For those who thought the tomb was the end, they had to be awakened to a new reality. And that's where we find ourselves today. So come awake. Maybe another way of saying come awake is saying get up. You know, in the morning, your alarm clock is going off and you done press the snooze button for the fifth time and your spouse says, get up. Or your kids, you go in the room, hey, you start nice. Oh, get up, it's time to go to school. And you go back the sixth time and it's get up. Get your butt out of bed. I can't believe I just said that on Sunday. It was a get up that I remember. I remember my mother said, boy, get up. We're going to church today. It's a long time ago, about 86, 87. And it was because my mother said, get up, that I'm standing here today. Church, we need to get up. There's a world out here that needs the church to get up. We need to wake up. There's a world out here that's been affected by the disease of sin. And we need to get up and declare the resurrection is alive in our lives and it can be alive in this world. So we need to get up. I shared yesterday with the brothers at breakfast that some young men that used to go to church here that many of us know that used to live with the Yates. And some of them I periodically keep in touch with. And past month or so, I've been very troubled by what I've been hearing by some of these young men. Some of these men that were fine, upstanding young men that became Christians here, and we loved them. And if I said their names, you'd know exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm sad to announce that I know that one of them, at least one of them, has gotten involved with gangs and violence, Crips. Just had an interaction with him on Facebook the other day. There's another guy who left and he was doing okay, but some things have happened and he's feeling suicidal. And there's another guy who's now in prison. There's another guy that is just unknown. We have no clue where he is. That's the plight of a lot of young men. That's the plight of a lot of young women. And it would be easy for us to just come in here and say, isn't that a shame the way these young people are going today? Isn't it a shame how that young girl's addicted to drugs? Isn't it a shame that that girl's about to go have an abortion? Isn't it a shame that that lady can't or that guy don't take care of their kids? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? Church, they don't need us to come in here and say what a shame. They need us to get up. And we need to get involved. We need to get involved. We need to reach out. We need to go down in the pits with them and live with them and struggle with them. Hear their stories and say, bro, you don't have to live this story because Jesus Christ is alive and you can have life. Well, I don't know what that means. That's hard. Okay, it's going to be hard together because we're going to do it together. Church, we need to get up. Come awake. Jesus, when he's with his apostles, starting at verse number 45, says, then he opened their minds to the so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And we'll get the rest of that story when we get into the book of Acts. But before we get to the book of Acts, I want you to hear that. Jesus says, you are my witnesses, and I'm sending you to teach and preach repentance, which means change, and the forgiveness of sins. That is to say that whatever you've done, there is now a system by which you can be forgiven and washed clean. You see, we've taken our sins and we've placed it at the foot of the cross, and that's where it belongs. That weight, that's where that belongs. It doesn't belong on our shoulders. It doesn't belong in our psyche. It belongs at the cross of Jesus. He died for all of that. He says, change your life. I'm going to forgive you of all of your sins. In order for us to go teach that, we got to first experience it and live it. So if you've not changed, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ and you've not embraced repentance, you've not changed, that's where you start. If you not, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, understand that Jesus has forgiven you, start right there. And once you embrace that, get up and go. Share that news with the young man in the gang. Share that news with the young woman addicted to drugs. Share that with the family that's going through a divorce. Share that with the family or the woman or the guy who's suffered sexual abuse. Share that with the guy, woman who just lost their job. Good news. And that's why we're here today, amen? Is to share good news. Embrace that good news. Let's get up. Come awake, church. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. You believe that, church? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, you are incredible. You are amazing. You are powerful. The story never changes, but God, the way you tell that story to us and the way that we get to experience this story over and over again, God, we are amazed. Father, we thank you for the revelation in scripture, these stories and these narratives that tell us that there is something deeper going on, that there is something bigger going on, and God, we get to be a part of that. So God, just as you rose and raised Jesus to life, we pray that you would raise us to life, that you would raise this church to life, and that we would come awake, that we would get up, and be your witnesses in this community, in our homes, in our schools, at our jobs, at the grocery store, at the gas station, at the nursing home, at the hospital. God, we want to be your witnesses. So as you empowered your apostles with the Holy Spirit, empower us. Father, thank you for waking us up. And God, it is our desire to get up to be your witnesses. Thank you, God, that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. We pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, and the church said,
amen.
How about you start this Resurrection Sunday off right? If there's something that the church can do for you, to pray for you, pray for you, if there's something that needs to be activated in your life that can be activated through the church gathering around you and surrounding you in prayer, we want to do that. Or maybe today is a day that you want to give your life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. You've heard the story. You've embraced the story. You believe the story. You're ready to make change. You're ready to say to this body, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I'm about to confess him to be my Savior, my King, my guide, my leader, my master, my Savior. And I want to be buried with him in baptism. If you want to do that today, no better day to start than today. And then tomorrow, there'll be no better day to start than tomorrow. But today is today, so do it today. Something like that. Come awake, church. And whether you respond in that way or not, do not leave here without first understanding that Jesus Christ wants to be alive in your life. He is risen indeed. Come awake, church. Come awake. Let's stand and let's sing the song.